Hey guys, it's Eric. I hope everyone out there is safe and well. And I just want to say we love you. Thank you for listening to the show. Be safe. We're going to continue to schedule our programs out so you have more content to digest. We hope it's a distraction from this terrible disease. But most importantly, hopefully everyone out there is safe. We've moved this particular interview forward a month. We were scheduled this a month out. But we've moved it forward because of all the schools and universities closing. So I was blessed to interview Anant Agarwal. He is the Steve Jobs of online education. Most of you are going to get your first exposure to online learning this week since universities and schools are closing. So whether you're a mom and dad helping out your kid or whether you're a student at the university trying to learn, I think you'll get a ton out of this interview, and that's why we moved it forward. We touched a little bit on coronavirus because, again, I sat down with him about 12 days ago. So we were aware of the disease, but a lot has happened in that time. That's why we're moving this interview forward, because I think you'll get a ton out of this. And I hope it helps you this week, next week, and most importantly, as you move forward, because the key understanding that I'll repeat a couple times in the interview is that this is all free. It is free. They went from zero users to 26 million users. So from a business perspective, that's crazy. How many of us would like to grow from zero to 26 million? And I know their numbers have jumped off the charts in this last week as we talked to them as well, because I sat up there with them when we were launching this. But anyways, he will also talk about Sal Khan. So Anant Agarwal actually taught Sal when he was a student at MIT. And as you know, Sal Khan is Khan Academy, another great resource. So Khan Academy out there. Anyways, I'm going to be quiet now. Just want to say we love you. Stay safe. And I know you'll get a ton out of this interview.
So today we have about 150 institutional partners. And we also have over 26 million learners who are learning on edX in this two-sided platform that we're talking about.
That is the voice of Anant Agarwal. I'm super excited to have him on today's Super U podcast. Anant and I first met many years ago when I was living in Cambridge, and Anant was tagged to head up the edX initiative. That's Harvard and MIT's initiative to have massively open online courses, or MOOCs. So massively open online courses, essentially making education accessible for everyone in the world. So that if you're in Nepal and want to get a Harvard education or an MIT education, you can go to edX.org and do that. So I was super pumped to be there in Cambridge, and I sat within edX for the first 2 years as we launched this thing. So I can't wait to have Anant talk about how much it has grown, because now it's at over 140 universities. Now I'm going to do a little background on Anant. It could take me 10 minutes to read all the success he has had. You might have seen him on the Colbert Report several years ago. Stephen Colbert had him on to talk about edX. But Anant holds a PhD in electrical engineering from Stanford. So I'm super nervous about that, to talk with him today, because he's super, super smart. Among other things, he's obviously the CEO of edX, and he's a professor of electrical engineering and computer science at MIT. Professor Anant won the Maurice Wilkes Prize for Computer Architecture and MIT's Smullen and Jamison Prizes for Teaching. He also received the Padma Shri Award. The Padma Shri Award is the highest award from the President of India. And I know last year he also won a Lifetime Achievement Award for education within the Boston area. And anyone that's familiar with Boston, there's 57 colleges and universities, so they do not hand those awards out lightly. But I love the mission that Anant's on with edX, and I can't wait for us to go into it in detail, not only from an entrepreneurial standpoint, because it is really a small startup within a larger educational ecosystem of Harvard and MIT, but just how he's been able to grow it and what the impact it has been on the world. Because if you know me, you know I'm a huge fan that the best way to change the world, to positively impact the world, is through education.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super U. Well, super excited. We have Anant Agarwal here today. We just read over his bio, but I always like to get into it from your perspective, kind of your comic book origin story. If you could put in your own words for the audience, like how'd you get where you are today as the leader CEO of edX?
Well, it's one of those things where life takes you where it will, and you plan very little for where you are. I grew up in India, came to the U.S. I've been a professor at MIT for over 30 years, and I was doing computer architecture, chip design. I led the computer science and AI lab at MIT, and then we started edX. This was about 8 years ago. edX is a nonprofit learning platform where many of us at MIT were experimenting with learning as part of open courseware. How do we bring digital technology to education? And then, around 2010, 2011 timeframe, a lot of key technologies came together, like cloud computing, video distribution at scale, things like gaming, high-end computing, and so on. And so we said, how do we apply this to education and try to create an experience for learners that can dramatically increase access to education and also improve the quality of education? And that's how Harvard and MIT founded edX in about 8 years ago, and as a platform company. Here we are today.
No, it's amazing. And for those familiar that are just learning about edX, is that it started with Harvard and MIT. How difficult of a decision was that? Or was it a difficult decision when they first came up with the idea that, hey, we're going to put our courses online for essentially free? How tricky was that?
I think it wasn't very tricky at all. MIT had done open courseware in around 2000, where all of MIT's course materials were put online. My own course in circuits was put online as well. And these are course materials. There was no interactivity as such. It was a sort of like a textbook, if you will. But with all these advances in technology, it wasn't too hard for MIT and Harvard to say, hey, let's build a platform where we can create very rich, engaging experiences for students. And as part of this platform, let's add a certificate to it. Let's add discussion forums. Let's create interactive assessments with feedback to learners. And so, these were sort of very, very early days. And, my own course on edX, a circuits course from MIT, was one of the first three or four MOOCs that came out in the world in those early days. And so it wasn't all that hard for MIT and Harvard to do it. Courses are available with broad access to learners all over the world. edX was built as a nonprofit platform. We were nonprofit and open source. Very early, we decided to give away our platform software as open source so that we can have an even bigger impact around the world on education. So edX is a platform company where we partner with some of the top universities in the world, like MIT and Harvard and Berkeley and Stanford and places like Oxford and Cambridge and others that create their content and put that content on edX. And then we have millions of learners all over the world that are coming and learning on edX. So today we have about 150 institutional partners, and we also have over 26 million learners who are learning on edX in this two-sided platform that we're talking about.
Holy cow, 26 million. And so it's just fascinating. So when we're sitting up in Cambridge, it started with zero, and you've grown this, you and your team have grown this to 26 million, and now you have 150 of the top institutions in the world. That's crazy to think about that growth to 26 million. I mean, there's probably multiple reasons why that happened. And you've got an amazing background. That's why you've been tapped to kind of run this, because you have an entrepreneurial background. I know you've developed and successfully exited companies as an entrepreneur yourself. That marriage between higher education and really the entrepreneurship to get edX off the ground, and now it's at 26 million users. What's been some of the key factors for success to make that happen? Because I know people out there, whether they're in higher ed or entrepreneurs, are trying to figure out, how do I grow exponentially like that?
Many factors that came into play. I think the main one was that we were filling a major need in the marketplace out there. Education is a human right. And everybody wants access to a quality education. So what we did was we built a platform and we provided high quality education from some of the top universities in the world to learners all over the world in a way that was very accessible. Learners can come to edX and they can have a great experience for free. If they want a certificate and they want some other projects and exams and so on, they pay a small fee. It's all open admissions so that learners can come in and they don't have to fill out GRE forms or get recommendation letters to join. So it's very accessible in that sense. The quality is very good. Some of the top institutions in the world, like MIT and Harvard and Oxford, are offering courses on edX, and corporations like IBM and others. So that makes a big difference to students. It's the quality, it's the access, and then a platform that scales, reaches everybody in the world. So we have learners today from every single country in the world. And I think a big part of that growth to 26 million was learners talking about it. Wherever I go, I run into learners that are talking about it. There's a story upon story. My colleague and I were at visiting one of our partners, University of British Columbia in Vancouver, and we were checking into a hotel, and my colleague was wearing an edX t-shirt, and the agent right behind the desk looked at her and said, "Oh, are you from edX?" And she said, "Yes." And he says, "I'm upgrading, each of you to upgraded rooms." And we said, "Oh, that's great." And he said, "I'm taking courses on edX." And he said, "I am doing the micro masters in hospitality management from Hong Kong Poly." And so there's amazing stories where people are taking courses from all over the world. We run into them, they're talking about edX on social media, they're sharing this with their friends. And so really it's through word of mouth as people talk to each other that we've grown to this number.
No, it's crazy. First of all, I want a t-shirt. So I haven't been up there in a while. So I definitely want one of those t-shirts.
Absolutely.
And I know that there's been some stories, you might have other ones you want to share, where there's folks, a 17-year-old in Nepal that's able to earn basically, and not a degree, but that they go through the MIT courseware, or there's folks I know that might be dyslexic that they are able to learn at their own speed.
The stories are absolutely amazing. We have students from Nepal, of course, in every country in the world. One particular student that was quite remarkable is, his name is Batushig. He was from Mongolia, and he took the circuits course from MIT that my colleagues and I offered in early 2012. It was the first course on edX. And when we launched the course, in the first hour, we had over 10,000 people sign up for the course. And, by the end of it, there were 155,000 students from 162 countries who took the course. And so at the end of it, 7,200 students passed an MIT hard course. And, if I were to teach on campus, I would have to teach for nearly 40 years to be able to reach that many students. So the student Batushig, he was 15 years old when he took that course. He aced that course. This was an MIT hard course with differential equations as prerequisites. He took the course, he aced it. He applied to MIT later. He got into MIT. He's now graduated from MIT, and he now works at Facebook. And so, quite an amazing story. We've been reaching students all over the world. And, every one of these stories is absolutely amazing in terms of what people are able to accomplish when you make, online learning, high-quality learning available to them all around the world.
Hey guys, it's Eric. Sorry to interrupt the podcast. I hope you're getting a ton out of this. Anant truly is the Steve Jobs of higher education online. They simply don't have professors on the Stephen Colbert Report or on the Charlie Rose Show or on Good Morning America unless you're an absolutely rock star, which Anant is, and he's transforming the way that we learn for 26 million people. Think about that, 26 million people. To take Anant 40 years a professor to reach the amount of people he does with one class on edX.org. As you can tell, I'm super excited. Why am I so excited? Because I'm tired about people saying that education doesn't matter. Education is the building block for us to make the world a better place. And everyone has a right to that education. So here we go. Whether it's you or whether it's someone in your family, as you stop listening to this podcast, I want you to go and find a course on edX.org. It's the biggest no-brainer of all time. It is 100% absolutely free to get an education from MIT, Harvard, University of Texas, over 150 amazing institutions. If there's something that you want to learn, whether that's science or whether that's sharks, it will be on edX. Again, you can tell I'm super excited about this. It's something that I walked in Anant's door 8 years ago, and I just want to keep preaching it. Education, education, biggest no-brainer of all time, edX.org. It is free.
Hey, this is Kelsey with today's five-star review from EEBell78. So relevant. I don't know what it is, but every time I listen to an episode, it always feels so relevant and I take away so much positivity and ideas for reframing concepts I've learned growing up. I love all the formats like 7 tips and especially like the longer interviews with subject matter experts. I love their positivity and storytelling. Eagleman is spreading amazing energy and I love it.
So for a new person, they're hearing edX the first time. We're here in Austin doing this recording. I know University of Texas is one of the big partners that you have of the 150 institutions that you have. And so if I go into edX and take a class from the University of Texas, is it the same class and professor as I would have if I was physically on campus, or walk us through that?
Yes. So, you're from Austin. The University of Texas is a partner, and just as an example, UT Austin has some amazing courses on edX. In fact, UT Austin has recently launched some radical, exciting master's degrees on edX fully online. They launched a $10,000 online, fully online master's in computer science on edX. They also launched a fully online master's in nutrition on edX from the nutrition department. And these are fully online. And these fully online courses are the same rigor as campus courses, but they're taught fully online. And so if you go to edX.org on the web, or you can also download the edX mobile app, and you can come to edX through the mobile as well. You search for whatever you want to search and start learning. In fact, if you go to Google and type in EDX, edX, and anything you want to learn about, I like to joke that there is a course for that. We have 3,000 courses on edX from topics ranging from machine learning, artificial intelligence, data science, statistics, history, learning Chinese, medieval history, sharks, name your topics. Soft skills are becoming very popular. You can learn all of these things on edX, and you can earn a certificate. We can earn a certificate for a course. And today we also have some very radical 21st century credentials, such as micro masters and micro bachelors. So, we're thinking about how one can transform education. In the past, education was very stovepiped. You got full degrees, a whole bachelor's degree or a whole master's degree. We are hearing from people who are working or people who have just a high school diploma that, it's very hard for them to go get another degree. And so they want smaller credentials. So a micromasters, for example, is about 25% of a master's degree, which you can do completely online on edX. And when you finish, you get a micromasters from the university. You can earn a micromasters from MIT, for example, in supply chain management for about $1,500 to $2,000. And the beauty of the micromasters is that when you complete it, if you want to go on for a full master's degree, the MicroMasters credential will count towards credit at the university. So it's a very radical approach where you can build up an education by learning online and doing these Lego blocks of education and learning in small pieces. So not only are we increasing access to education, we're also transforming and reimagining education for the digital age, making it modular, making it lifelong, and making it online so that people can learn both online and, of course, go to campus if they want to.
And I love the analogy you used there with the Lego blocks. You could come on, it sounds like you can learn for free, or you can pay for a certificate. You can do these micro manager programs, micro master programs, and even now it says University of Texas has full master programs out there. So I love that it's at your own pace, Lego blocks. And so truly, when we think about it, is you have access to the internet. If you can get access to the internet, then you can educate yourself in any form or fashion from the top 150 institutions in the world, no matter what your budget is, if it's zero. So that's amazing. It's amazing what the whole initiative is doing. Now, this is kind of just came into my head, so it's probably something you guys might not even be prepared for, but as we look, if there's a pandemic, so if you have, like everyone's talking about coronavirus as we record this, my guess is that all of a sudden you'll see an influx of traffic as well. Is there any indication of that? Are you prepared for that, or is it not even on the radar yet?
We are seeing that is happening, where more and more students are not able to travel, and online may be the only option for them, where if you're quarantined or at your home, online might be the only option to learn. And you know what is interesting is that even before pandemics and so on, I saw this example at MIT. So about 3 years ago, we offered a course fully online on edX and a course fully online on campus. And roughly half the students took the campus course and roughly half the students took the online course. And we were doing an A-B test to understand the efficacy of online versus on campus. And what was interesting was our plan had been that we keep the students and the learning separate so we can do a proper A-B test, give them a common exam and so on. And we try not to mix up the students in the two experiences. But what happened was halfway through the semester, we are in Boston, and it snowed a lot that year. And the campus professor called me up and said, hey, can we have some of our campus students who are stuck in their dorm rooms or in their homes because of the snow and classes have been canceled so they can continue to keep up with the class? Can they go and take the online course? And so we decided that even though that would tarnish the experiment, that we had to be student-centric. And so we had those students come in and take the online classes and online exercises on edX when they missed the campus course. And so, the online modality, it gives you a level of flexibility that in-person does not quite give you.
No, that's great. It makes sense, that story, and also just the A-B testing, that the world's moving fast. And then from a personal level, so you would never say this about yourself, so I'm going to say it about you, but you're the Steve Jobs / Bill Gates of online education. And with that comes, you're on the Colbert Report. At the peak of the popularity of the Colbert Report, you are on the Colbert Report. Walk the audience through just what is that kind of shift for you when you had to go through that shift, and any kind of fun insights that you might have had from the Colbert Report or being on all these other media outlets.
It's funny you bring it up, but I've been teaching at MIT for 32 years now, and for the past 8 years I've been leading edX. And for us professors, we firmly believe that education is a human right. And to the extent that we can help make it available to students all over the world and get the word out, that's very important to us. And so being on the Colbert Report was actually great. When we heard from the Colbert Report, they had seen an interview I did in the Rose show earlier. Today, we'd like to have you on the Colbert Report. So we thought it was a great opportunity to get the word out to people. It was in the early days of edX, and following the Colbert Report show, we got what was called the Colbert bump, where we had hundreds of thousands of new students come to edX because of that. And the Colbert Show itself was very, very exciting.
And then for the prep for that show, I mean, were any of the questions that maybe the team helped you prep for even close to what he asked? I'm guessing maybe not, that they're just so out of left field.
Oh, everything was completely out of left field. You know, I'll tell you the first question he asked was, I come in there and, you know, I thought he's going to be somewhat serious to start, but he hits me and it hits me like a 2x4. He says, so are you the new University of Phoenix? And I was dumbfounded. The University of Phoenix is a for-profit. And so we at edX, we prided ourselves on being a nonprofit. We were online, founded by extremely high quality universities like MIT and Harvard. You know, Berkeley was a third partner, and University of Texas System was a fourth partner. So quality education was built into our DNA. And then this question comes from left field. And so I certainly was completely taken aback by that. I don't recall how I responded. And so, you know, if you want, I think if you go to my LinkedIn profile, I believe the Colbert interview is linked in there. And so linked there. So you can probably go and see what I answered. I have no recollection. It seemed all a blur today.
Well, I remember you rocking it. So everyone out there that's listening, go check it out on Anant Agarwal's. We'll put this in the show notes as well. Go check out. We'll put the link in there as well to the Colbert Report, because it's always, he's one of my favorites. You're one of my favorites. So it's always good, a good watch out there. For a lot of parents out there and even students themselves, I've got some students sitting around me from the University of Texas here as we speak, because they're part of the team. When you've been teaching, like you said, 32 years. Is there a commonality when you see a student performing and conversely when they're underperforming? Do you see a common thread when you see a student performing and also when they're underperforming?
Oh, absolutely. People tend to say that the online and in-person are two different things. You know, I tend to think of teaching, whether you're learning online or learning in person, as just a different modality. It's like speaking two languages, or whether you buy something online or in person, there's a lot of commonality in teaching. And so with learners, students doing well or students not so well, very similar reasons, in person or online, oftentimes the student may not do so well because they don't have the background on something or they are ill-prepared. If you're on campus, the challenge is, okay, let's say you missed a lecture, you were ill. What do you do? You're kind of screwed. You missed a lecture and it happened to me. You sort of keep falling behind and you just can't catch up. With online, one of the benefits is that you miss a lecture. Hey, it's easy. You rewind. It's completely flexible. You know, you can rewind and you can re-listen as often as you want. Yeah. You know, some students tell me that they rewind and listen 6, 7, 8 times. And students learn differently. Online, you can also tell more easily when a student is falling behind. It's much harder in person on campus because in campus, you suddenly see them not submitting homeworks, not showing up to class, but then very few people show up to class anyway. So it's hard to figure out when someone's not doing so well. But online, there's instant feedback. Students submit a problem set or a problem. They type in an answer. They get instant feedback as to whether something is right or wrong. And as a faculty member or a TA, you can tell, hey, the student is doing well or not. Yeah, you can find out within seconds how a student is doing. And so I think in the future, we will use these real-time analytics capabilities to do a much better job of finding students that are underperforming or not performing to their full potential. And what I found is that encouraging is a good thing. Giving them encouragement is a good thing, and suggesting resources. So you can do it very quickly. Of course, it's hard when you have a scalable class and 100,000 students. It's hard to provide the one-on-one, for the professor to provide the one-on-one attention. It's very difficult. But one of the things you can do online is peer-to-peer help, where we encourage students to form teams and groups of students to work together and help each other. So if they're falling behind, the other students help them. There's a very interesting study by Lori Breslau, who's a researcher at MIT, where she found that in the edX courses, students who formed study groups and teams did better than students who studied alone. So I'm a big believer in students forming study groups and working together to learn the material. It's more fun, and when you're falling behind, your group or your team can help lift you up and encourage you to move on.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're just social animals, whether you're trying to learn, as you mentioned, getting those study groups, those small groups, or if you're trying to get in better shape, it always, that accountability is a huge help, and also just that energy that it creates. Now, you just mentioned a data point that kind of blew my mind and probably blows the audience's minds as well. You said 100,000 students on a course. What are some of the most popular courses on edX?
Well, so we have dozens of courses that have crossed the 100,000 enrollment mark. Some of the most popular courses tend to be in topics like computer science, artificial intelligence, machine learning.
And then you guys might not have access to this data. Do you ever see a celebrity come on to edX? And you're like, oh my gosh, it's Matthew McConaughey's in the circuits class.
Oh, absolutely. You've lots of stories. So for example, MIT has courses on edX in developmental economics. And the two professors who teach it, Esther DeFlo and Abhijit Banerjee, if you Google, they've been teaching about poverty and developmental economics for years on edX. And if you Google them, you'll discover that they won the Nobel Prize for Economics last year. So you can learn from Nobel laureates in the course. There was another, Smithsonian is an edX partner, and they had a course on edX on comic books and so on. And, Stan Lee himself came in on the course. And
oh, wow.
For all the people that passed the course, he gave out the hand-drawn sketch that he drew himself. And so there are many examples where celebrities come on, and it's quite a hit.
Wow, that's amazing. It's from comic book superheroes to Nobel laureates, superheroes across the board, edX.org. And then when I talk with thought leaders like you, obviously people see you and they go, oh my gosh, this guy just won the Career Achievement Award, Lifetime Achievement Award for top educator in the country and in the world, and bestowed upon the President of India. What people don't see is along the way in your journey, your personal journey, there's a lot of failures that got you to the top. Is there any particular failure or challenge that you learned from that you want to share with the audience?
Oh, so, just as an example, the example I gave earlier where, I was doing physics and I failed my first physics exam at IIT where, the exam assumed calculus-based physics, and I did not know what calculus was, and failed the exam. And what they told me was that I better go back and start doing all the homeworks and learning all the stuff that I did not know about. It was a kick in the pants for me. that was one example. But we have learnings every single day. We learn all the time. On how to do things, and there's just so many failures along the way. I've built a number of startup companies. There's one company that I built that did not have a good outcome, and I think there part of the reason was that we were very heavy technology focused and not as focused on what the customer wanted. So that's one of the lessons I've learned in my life. I've started 5 companies in my life, and edX is another company, of course, but this is my first nonprofit. And so customer centricity is a big part of our mantra here, which is do whatever you do, make sure it's in the best interest of learners. And oftentimes as a professor in universities, we tend to be very supply side focused, which is, hey, you know what? As a professor, I've been doing this for 30, 40 years, and that's what I'm going to do again, whether my students like it or not. And so I think one of what edX is doing with digital technology is bringing a customer centricity to education, a market centricity to education. How do learners want to learn? How do we be flexible? How do we help them versus doing the same thing over and over again?
Now, there's a lot in the news that talk about the difference in generations. You're in a unique position because you've obviously taught baby boomers to Gen X, to millennials. Now we've got Gen Z and soon Alpha. In the mix, do you think that's overhyped or underhyped, the differences in the generation, specifically to how they learn, the students?
You know, I think that the newer generations learn very differently. Just one example of something I learned. I would sit in a classroom with 30 or 40 other students as an undergrad. And usually I would fall asleep or lose the professor around the 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 minute mark and then not follow anything else that was going on. But we all sat through 1 hour lectures all our lives. And then when I came to MIT and I began teaching, guess what? I began teaching 1 hour lectures. And heck, I began teaching 90 minute lectures as well, because that's all we did. And it was not at all customer centric. It was, you know, what we did. However, there was some pioneering research studies on edX. This was done by Philip Guo when he was working at edX as a researcher in 2012. He published this landmark paper where he discovered, by analyzing 5 million video watching sessions from students, that 6-minute videos, 6-minute learning sessions were optimal. And so based on that study today, you know, around the world, you know, you'll hear people talking about, hey, you know what, videos need to be short. And so on edX today, we encourage people to create short videos because students learn in small chunks. So that's just one example of how we learn to be customer-centric, how the newer generation of students who are so used to learning and getting information in small chunks, they also like to learn in small chunks. And so it's just one example how the newer generation learns in small chunks. And so we need to change how we teach as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. Small chunks from the learning side, also small chunks when they show success, because if they get little wins at the beginning, they're more likely to, no pun intended, stay the course.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that makes total sense, where what we've done there is a month ago, we launched a new program called Micro Bachelors. A bachelor's degree takes 4 years. And today, if you stop and leave the university at the end of the second year, just think about it. What do they call you? You know, I'll pause for 5 seconds so you can think about, what do they call you? Well, they call you a dropout. And so, but why? You've learned for 2 years. Shouldn't that be celebrated? So what we do at edX is we say, all right, why don't we celebrate smaller chunks of learning? And we launched Micro Bachelors. So Micro Bachelors are, roughly think of it as 2 or 3 courses worth of content. And when you complete a micro bachelor's program, you get a certificate. So we have a micro bachelor's from NYU in computer science. So when you finish that, you get a certificate that says, hey, nice job. Here's a certificate in introduction to computer science from NYU. And so you get a celebratory signal, a certificate for that success that makes you want to go on and do more, you know, as opposed to how we did things in the past, where unless you did 4 years, you know, anything short of that, you were called a dropout rather than celebrating it.
That makes sense. It's changing the way we view things. Because the old joke was that if you took a time machine and went back in time 100 years ago, the only thing you'd recognize is education. And in the last 8 years, you've completely flipped that on its head, and you guys are continuing to learn and iterate, being customer centric. So I love that. Now, a lot of folks listening, they're familiar with Khan Academy. I got to be careful what I read online, but did you have a relationship with Saul Khan, the founder of Khan Academy, in terms of, did you actually teach him when he was at MIT?
Oh, yeah. Saul Khan is one of my idols. He's a real pioneer. He also happened to be my student at MIT in the 90s. And so he and I are good friends. He's been an inspiration to me. And in fact, the way he creates videos, where he does tablet capture and narration of tablet captured videos, I call them Khan style videos or KSVs. And I do that extensively in my own teaching on edX. He's been a big inspiration to me. And in fact, I like what he did so much. I asked him to create short lessons on edX in things like how to create a Khan style video. And then I went to Khan Academy, and I needed a lesson for my students in my circus course on edX on how to solve differential equations. And so I couldn't find it on Khan Academy. So I asked Sal, hey, can you create a course? So I got him to create a course on edX, a short course on edX on solving differential equations. So we've been collaborating on the years and being good friends over the years, and you know, he's just a total inspiration to me.
No, that's amazing. I love it. And then there's people out there that are the opposite of that, that are some of my peers, they're influencers, they're some of the top podcasters in the world, and they put it out there somewhat as a hot take, but it can be a dangerous hot take, to where they're saying, don't go to high school, it doesn't matter. Don't go to college, it's a waste of money. Just go in, start practicing what you need to do. Be a doer, not a learner. Learn by doing. And to me, that's a very dangerous slope and a dangerous, basically, vernacular that they're putting out there to a lot of the younger generation. When you hear that, like, what's your take on that? When you hear some of these more popular folks kind of pounding on the table about that?
You know, I completely disagree with them. I think it's a big mistake that they're doing. There's some people that will even pay you to drop out of, not go to college. I think it's a big mistake. I think education, you know, I would like to expand it. I think whether you go to college or not, I think education is very important. But really, more broadly, everybody should get an education. And today you have many options. You can go to campus and learn. You can learn online. You know, frankly, you can come to edX and you can earn micro-bachelor's programs. These will stack up, and eventually you can get full bachelor's degrees from learning online. You can get full master's degrees on edX today. And so there's so many options and so utterly affordable that there's just no excuse to not getting an education.
Well said, well said. As we start to wrap things up, we're going into a lightning round. So it's very Stephen Colbert-esque somewhat. And so these are kind of quick answers. But if you were to text your 20-year-old self a sentence or two, what would those sentences be when you text your 20-year-old self?
I would say many of the things that you're doing that seem unimportant and painful are the things that will be the most important in your life. And the reason I would say that is, very broad. I did a lot of different things. And people would tell me, hey, you know, focus, don't do all of these things. And boy, am I glad I did. And I would be second guessing myself as a 20-year-old, should I do all of these different things? But as I've grown older, I found that having a broad, rich experience in learning or other activities has just been hugely, hugely important. And so I would text my 20-year-old self, continue to be broad, get a broad education, get a broad set of experiences.
And is part of that learning also learning what you don't enjoy? That enjoy, or that, hey, that's not my superpower. That by trying all these things, I figured out what I need to do in some ways because I found out what I don't want to do.
Absolutely. You know, very often you have to plow through sort of what you might call the quantum barrier to enjoy yourself. You actually have to learn enough and work hard enough to know enough to enjoy yourself. And so I call it plowing through kind of the the quantum barrier. You got to do that, and then you begin enjoying yourself.
I love that. That is a book title, Plowing Through the Quantum Barrier. I love that. Plowing through the, that is awesome. That is great. What's a generally accepted truth that you don't necessarily agree with?
That online learning is not as good as in-person learning.
Is there a book, movie, poem, place that our audience would benefit from knowing?
Well, my own favorite movie was Sting. And my favorite book was, a sci-fi book, The Invisible Man. And so, I really enjoyed this movie and this book. One piece of advice I would give people, particularly people in school or college, is as you're going through life, make sure that you try, as you're going through in-person experiences, make sure that you take an online course and try it out and get that experience, because for lifelong learning and for the rest of your life, you need that skill. You will need to learn how to learn online.
No, for sure. And then is there any question that I should have asked you or a story that we should go over before we part ways?
Well, we certainly covered a lot of ground, and I'll just tell you one story, and this is about you, Eric. You're just such an impressive guy. I still remember you when we were in our offices at edX, 7 or 8 years ago, and Eric came by and said, hey, look, this is a great mission. I want to help. And Eric came by to our offices, and he worked with us pro bono, you know, helping us and getting the word out. And it's been such a, you know, such a delight for me, and so enriching for me to get to know people like Eric throughout my life who jump in and do the right thing, you know, and have helped us along the way. So thank you very much, Eric, for your friendship and collaboration through the years.
No, thank you. I've taken more from it than I've given. So, I mean, I just love the whole mission. I really believe that in order to make the world better, it's through education. And so, as you mentioned, I implore all of our listeners out there, definitely try a course on edX.org. And I can't thank you enough. It's so great to hear your voice. Can't wait to see you in person here, either in Austin or also in Cambridge again.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. It's always a blast chatting with you.
That's it for today's Super U podcast. I'm your host, Eric Qualman. It's so wonderful to be joined by my friend, Anant Agarwal, who's the CEO of edX.org. So definitely be a lifelong learner and go to edX.org today to check out one of their courses. They have over 150 institutions from Hong Kong to the University of Texas to MIT to Harvard to Cal Berkeley. If you want to learn something, they have it. And that's why there's 26 million users, which is crazy because I remember walking into edX 8 years ago, eight short years ago, and they had zero users. So 26 million users. And I hope you got a lot of today's podcast, the podcast designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower. So until next time, this is Equal Man reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7 6 5 4 3 2 1
Super, 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 super,
super you.